Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now, I am not reintroducing the idea of purgatory, but on the other hand, I do believe the baby was thrown out with the bathwater. With that came a belief, when you die, you're instantaneously and magically made perfect.
The soul of someone who dies immediately goes into eternity. There is no place where you make up for your sins. There is no purgatory. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's play!
Come on down!
This is Wretched Radio. Oh, wow. It's a ratings bonanza by popular demand. What are we calling this thing? Jimmy, you got any idea what?
Come on down.
Come on down. You, sir, are going to act as the federal head of the tens and tens of people listening to this here Wretched Radio program. Are you prepared for your most earnest responsibility, sir?
Yes.
We are going to play, a perennial favorite. Which story makes your eyes roll more violently? Okay. I'm telling you. What's the name of the people? The Nielsen ratings on this. Oh, massive. Which one of these stories will make them roll most violently? Because they're going to roll. That is not in question. It is merely a matter of degrees. So, Jimmy, here we go. Are you ready for story number one?
I am.
There's a university in the UK, that would be England, that has slapped a sexual violence warning on the Bible. That's right. In an effort to be, let's be honest, what's going on here. In an effort to just kick against the goads, this university has put a warning sign on the Bible. See what we did there? First of all, without the Bible, you can't have any sort of warning mandate because there is no standard. Who cares if something is violent? Who says that that is wrong? Nevertheless, we know what they're up to here. They're claiming that the Bible contains graphic bodily injury and sexual violence. It's funny because it's taken us 2,000 years to become this sensitive. I mean, we've graphic bodily injury. Do you know how much restraint the Bible practices? For instance, there is actually a book in the Bible. This might be overstating it slightly, that is dedicated to intimacy between a man and a woman. I think Song of Solomon can rightly be summarized that way. You're not going to find graphic sexual imagery. It practices, it's used poetic, it's written poetically to avoid such things. Furthermore, the reason that any sort of bad act is contained in the Bible is to teach us, first of all, that the Bible doesn't blush and it's fully aware of atrocities, but it doesn't give it in detail. It doesn't talk about how this person died or that person was in some instances. For instance, you've got in the genealogy of Jesus, you've got two women, one for sure, but the other one, let's face it, she played the prostitute. Do you read the details? No, you don't. Nevertheless, this university, it's the University of Sheffield, placed a trigger warning. That examined Christ's crucifixion. And speaking of, so they think that Jesus' crucifixion contains too much graphic bodily injury. Are you kidding me? Do you know how violent that actually was? The reason that I think the gospel writers glossed over it is, first of all, the original audience, they knew. Second of all, they wanted to have children read these stories too. You have to exposit, if you will, the crucifixion to understand how wicked the men were who treated Jesus Christ this way. It was awful, and you don't get those details. There are books written about what happened with the cat of nine tails, about the physical effect. I know, because I happen to preach on it when we were going through the crucifixion. and we open it up more. And I had to be sensitive to the kids because I was going to explain it in more detail than the Bible does. The Bible, the crucifixion demands a trigger warning. And the story of Cain and Abel. Jimmy, I don't know what version of the Bible you have, but I don't even think that in Genesis 4, it tells us exactly how that murder took place. It just is told.
Yeah, I think so. That's right.
And Cain found himself a sharp knife, and he decided to serrate the edge. And when his brother was sound asleep, he started by slowly hacking off his ankle. Okay, he hacked the ankle, cutting off his foot. The point is, it doesn't tell us that. This is story number one. Jimmy, the Bible, trigger warning. Yeah. You got that one?
I got it.
Here we go. Story number two. Oh, as long as we're in the uck. Church leaders warned the UK government its conversion therapy ban would make the gospel illegal. This is indeed something to watch for and to be worried about. We're seeing it in England and in Canada. They're ahead of us. And when I say ahead of us, I mean behind us. Because this has taken us back in time where we didn't have freedom of, you know, religion and speech and an ounce of common sense. A group of leaders wrote that the Labour's planned ban on sexual orientation change efforts therapy, including pastoral counseling, could criminalize mainstream historic teaching on marriage and sexual ethics and make sharing the gospel with some people illegal. If that comes to pass, that's scary business. The conversion therapy thing, it's sort of like Christian nationalism. It's just a name that gets slapped to describe anything and to make it a boogeyman. Oh! Now, I'm not a Christian nationalist, but I can still observe. People are using that term. That's fascism, which is fascinating that people claiming it's fascism want to shut it down and prohibit freedom of thought and freedom of speech because that's what fascists actually do. The point is, if we aren't able to express just gospel verities, that's going to include, if you will, air quotes, conversion therapy. Again, a boogeyman. They're going to call it conversion therapy because upon conversion, Jesus says, you're going to change. In fact, that's a part of conversion, isn't it? A promise to change. Lord, I don't want to live like that anymore. I'm going to live like this. And it is a clear biblical prohibition as to how we are supposed to use our bodies intimately. So if you just teach that truth and encourage somebody who's very confused about their sexuality, that this is the straight line. It was drawn by God himself. This is the way you're supposed to use your body. That's conversion therapy. And you're going to get shut down. The letter says that parents could be prevented from urging talking to their kids about gender confusion. So if your kid comes home and says, Mom, I'm thinking about becoming a boy, which isn't really the way a girl would talk. See, I'm getting gender confused right now. If a child comes home expressing confusion, Mom and Dad, ooh, be careful. If this legislation goes through, be careful to tell, oh, honey, let me tell you the way that God made you. Psalm 139, Genesis chapter 1. Chapter 2, this is what your body is. You weren't assigned a gender. Jimmy, did you see the video? This guy, he was identifying as a black man. He was white and he was identifying as a black man. And he used the lingo that gets used for gender, assigned gender. I was assigned melanin. No, I was assigned skin shade. They what do they call it when they, assigned. I was assigned white. But because I think it, I'm actually black. And it just reveals the ludicrous nature of assigning genders. But if you buck against that, Mom and Dad, you could be in trouble in the United Kingdom. That's story number two, Jimmy.
Yeah, remember? It was.
Are your eyes rolling violently yet?
Yeah, that pretty much.
A little bit. All righty, here we go. This is story number three. Ooh, Hollywood story. George Clooney making a new movie. You know, that's going to be anything but biblical, along with Annette Bening, who I honestly didn't know she was still alive. Nevertheless, it's a film that romanticizes physician-assisted suicide as the ultimate act of conjugal devotion. So rather than going through this, it's a horrific process. Let's be honest. Nobody says that seeing somebody with Alzheimer's is easy. It's just got to be brutal. Nevertheless, they are going to use a Swiss clinic to put an end to the life of the spouse, because that's what love is. Hollywood, they do have an impact on culture. And if this is going to be a mainstream movie, you got George Clooney involved. This is going to be a mainstream movie. What is this going to do? Well, it's probably going to help us. And when I say help us, I mean hurt us to catch up to Canada, who is already way down the road. And by the way, they have not reached their final destination when it comes to the termination of life. This presumed die with dignity, it's merely the crack in the door, and it is yet to be fully kicked down. But when it is, be afraid. Be very afraid. This is Wretched Radio.
Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You memorize where the remote lands when you toss it. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. That's right. Your sanctuary of relaxation is now an actual sanctuary. Stream biblical truth without moving a muscle, except maybe your thumb on the remote. Every single resource Fortis Plus produces is now available on that beautiful big screen you justified buying because, well, it was on sale, honey. From your phone to now on your Roku, Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. It's free to download the app. It's free to stream all of our content, funded by gospel partners who believe your couch time should count for eternity. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first, because your couch just got promoted.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched. masters.edu/wretched.
Look, I'm going to be straight with you. Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes. And there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. Here's what no one wants to admit. You can't win this fight with willpower. Trust me, if determination alone could break the chains of lust and sin, you would already be free. You've probably figured that out by now. The filters, the accountability apps, the promises to your wife or to yourself, they're just band-aids on a wound that needs surgery. Real freedom, the kind that actually lasts, it only comes when Christ changes you from the inside out. Not just your habits, but your actual heart. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at fortisplus.org.
Important dates in Christian history. Henry VIII's act of supremacy makes the king, not the pope, head of the Church of England. While Henry's concerns were largely political, his archbishop, Thomas Cranmer, worked to mold the Anglican Church into a thoroughly Protestant church.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome to the program that might require Tylenol if you think that it's safe to take acetaminophen. I think that's how the president said it. This is Wretched Radio, playing one of America's all-time favorite game shows. Which story makes your eyes roll most violently? Jimmy, how are your eyes doing? Do you have a headache from the violent eye rolling?
Yes.
Well, if you don't, you're gonna. This would be story number four. Wow. It's like the United Kingdom. They want the crown. No pun intended. This is story number four. King Charles III dedicates Britain's first national memorial to LGBTQ plus troops. That's 25 years after the UK ended a ban on homosexuality in the armed forces. Do you know why? Because when we stopped partying like it was 1999 because we turned the millennium, we got so smart. We're brilliant is what we are. And all of those people, they were total baboons. Fools. They were just knuckleheads. They didn't know nothing about anything. Well, we do, thankfully. In 2023, then Prime Minister Rishi Sunak formally apologized for what he called an appalling failure of the British state. So they're making good and throwing everybody who preceded them under the bus. That's story number four, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. Great Britain, they're making advancements. This is British story. I think this is our third one from Great Britain. British parents are now taking self-defense classes to protect themselves from their own kids. Well, that's not a real good sign. The BBC reports parental education growth support, that would be PEGS, provides support for parents facing violence from their children. 3 years ago, it was being contacted by 1,200 families a year looking for support. Last year, went to 4,000. The kids are getting more aggressive. The kids being informed by social media, parents who are probably too permissive to begin with, are suddenly afraid of their own children because they're getting violent with mom and dad. I got to tell you, if you're ever talking to somebody about how Christianity is good for civilization, this would be a good demonstration. See, this is not something that the Christian worldview cultivates. Secular humanism does, because children, we are in this current mad trend of not disciplining our children, letting children run the house. Why? I think it all comes back to expressive postmodernism. You can't control the kid. You're putting shackles, Rousseau, on that child, and you can't be controlling them. They're little autonomous beings who have to live independently any way that they want, and you can't squash them and their dreams. What is that? Well, it's bad parenting, but it's also a worldview applied. Jimmy, that would be story number four. You ready?
I'm ready.
Story no, that was five. Story number six. Back to America we go. Pennsylvania specifically. The pastor pointed an unloaded gun at the congregation to encourage spiritual violence against unbelief. See what he did right there? That's prop preaching is what you got going on. The firearm was disabled, publicly shown to be ammo-free. It was an illustration to show believers how unbelief is an enemy to faith. He pointed the gun at congregants, along with another man, also armed with an assault-style rifle. A laser light also bounced off the congregants in the front row. Wow. Preaching a prop is what you got going on right there. That's story number six.
That one's leading the pack.
You think so?
I think so.
All righty, story number seven. This one isn't funny. This is awful. Hamas, they've gone back to executions that quick. That quick. I know there are purported peaceful Muslims. I get it. But those peaceful Muslims need to step it up and say, that is not Islam. And the entire peaceful Islamic world needs to come together and eradicate this violent strand, because it isn't just a thread. Entire nations are aimed at exterminating Jewish people. And if we're to believe that Islam is a religion of peace, then show us, put an end to this. tell these guys you're out, you're another religion, but you're not the religion of peace. The problem, of course, with that is you have a book that is not peaceful. The Quran. I just saw Jimmy, the little growing pain, used a video when I was out on the campus. I was at UGA and an Islamic woman came up and she said that the Quran does not promote violence. And my response was, well, I think it does because I happened to have it in my back pocket and was able to share verses about slaying the infidels. There's no question that there are verses. I think it's mostly Surah 9 and 5 that contain all of the admonitions that those who will not convert to Islam, you can subjugate them or kill them if they fight against you. I mean, it's like, wow. And they use those verses for jihad, an actual physical exterminating jihad. And you can't get away from those. I'm sorry, you can't get away from those verses. Now, if Islam wants to become all liberal and say, well, it doesn't say what it appears to say because we know that's out of step with the times, knock yourself out. I'd prefer that. But in the meantime, I'm sorry. I just don't think that it's a religion of peace until the peaceful ones actually dominate their own religion. Story number 8, Jimmy. To Switzerland we go. A man, Emmanuel Brinschultz, has been sentenced to 10 days in prison for what authorities called a discriminatory Facebook post. Ooh. He left a post on somebody else's Facebook page and got thrown into jail for saying, quote, if you dig up LGBTQI people after 200 years, you'll only find men and women based on their skeletons. Everything else is a mental illness promoted through the curriculum. Switzerland will put you in jail for such a post. They just did. Story. Oh, and he also got fined $600. And then he lost the appeal and was fined an additional $750. Well, that'll teach him. Jimmy, this would be story
Number nine.
New Jersey Teachers Union slated to host program promoting drag. Oh, that's awesome. The New Jersey Education Association, 200,000 educators affiliated with the National Education Association, will be hosting a 45-minute program titled Drag is Not a Crime, The Past, Present, and Future of Drag. It's going on right now, by the way, at the Convention Center in Atlantic City, boasting, we're supported by an NEA grant. That is the association that is basically so powerfully affecting all schools on every level throughout the nation. Pro-drag. Other programs provided by the consortium to promote an inclusive curriculum. Well, and when we say inclusive, we really don't mean everybody because, well, we don't want you Christians telling us that what we're doing to your kids is wrong. Unlocking your future through breathwork and visioning. Cultivating equity-centered schools through action. And mindset shifts for equitable, neurodiversive school communities. I'm in the process. I've not gotten as deep as I want to yet before talking about this. Are you familiar with polyvagal or vasovagal theory in the education system? In brief, you've got your nerve system that runs from your head to your toes, your vasal, the vagal system. Well, if something happens externally, it sets it off. Therefore, a kid in school who's being naughty is only responding to his vasovagal nerve. And therefore, he's not the problem. The problem is the environment or the parents or something that's going on in the kids. So all we need to do is make the world perfect, wrap it in cotton, and every kid will behave perfectly. You think that sounds kooky? It's huge. Jimmy, story number 10. That's a nice round number. I've got a pile here that can go on. I mean, we won't even use this. A pansexual Episcopal lay leader resigns over oppressive systems. We're not going to use that, but it's going to make your eyes roll pretty hard. Here we go. Story number 10. Vatican astronomer says he'd baptize aliens as children of God if they actually existed.
Oh, well.
But the thing is, they're not. First of all, I don't think they exist. Second of all, we are. Those who are in Christ are children of God. All right, Jimmy, that's story number 10. We don't have time to recap. Which one made your eyes roll most violently?
I think the most violent was story number one, the bubble wrapping the Bible.
Oh, putting the trigger warning on the Bible.
Yeah.
Because it's too violent.
Yeah. That.
You know what? If there are aliens, you know what they would need to take over the planet?
What's that?
Spitballs. That's it. We're that soft. We're that sensitive. We're the... I'm all for being delicate. But wow, putting a trigger warning on the Bible because of the crucifixion being violence. Come to think of it, it actually was. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break production of Fortis Institute. Well, hope is breaking through darkness in the most unlikely of places. In Romania, where communist oppression once crushed the gospel, Assure Hope Ministries just opened their first English-speaking Christian school. Romanian Christians are building institutions that actually form character. That's what true revival looks like. Not waiting for permission, but creating alternatives when the culture fails our children. The battle for religious liberty does continue on multiple fronts. In Venezuela, the Venezuela Evangelical Council just petitioned their Supreme Court for basic clarity on whether churches can even exist legally under their new NGO regulations. They're not asking for special treatment, just the constitutional right to worship without government harassment. Meanwhile, in Pakistan, one man spent 7 months fighting to prove he's a Christian, not a Muslim, after bureaucrats mysteriously changed his ID to show him as Muslim. The government claimed he converted voluntarily, but couldn't produce a shred of evidence. In Pakistan, being wrongly labeled a Muslim means losing minority protections, education quotas, and facing potential death for apostasy if you try to correct it. And here's some genuinely good news that the media will not celebrate. Transgender identification among college students has been cut in half over the last 2 years, dropping from 6.8% to 3.6%. One psychologist calls it the fading of a fashion trend, and he's exactly right. The kids claiming to be non-binary weren't confused about their identity. They just didn't want to be labeled as oppressors. And when the social awards disappeared, so did the fake identities. Canada's professional class is fighting back against ideological tyranny. The Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms has launched a portal demanding Alberta ban regulatory bodies from forcing compelled speech on doctors, lawyers, and teachers. This comes after a Chinese immigrant lawyer was ordered to undergo cultural competence training that reminded him of communist re-education camps. Brazil just went full Orwellian with their Platform of Respect, which is an AI system that tracks anyone who misgenders public figures for prosecution. A feminist had to flee to Europe and seek asylum after calling a male politician male. She faced 25 years in prison. The system monitors legislators, journalists, and citizens using AI to detect sarcasm and irony before sending cases to prosecutors. They're spending public money to turn thoughts into crimes while calling it tolerance. That's exactly what the endgame looks like when gender ideology captures the state. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content, both of which you can do at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. A good shepherd protects, directs, provides, and cares for his sheep. Jesus called himself the good shepherd, who lays his life down for his sheep. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Bad host. This is Wretched Radio. Friel, we could have told you that. Hey, Jimmy, I left out two stories that might be the most violently eye-rolling stories of the entire stack.
Oh.
Courtesy of Sebastian Gorka. Do you know who Sebastian Gorka is? Somehow he became kind of a Fox guy, conservative guy. He is now serving as the deputy assistant to President Donald Trump, senior director for counterterrorism. That's a lot. He gave a speech at the Conservative Political Action Conference Summit. Is that affiliated with the Southern Baptist Convention? I'm sorry. That was a snipe at the EFE. What's the name of the thing? The PAC? I'm sorry. The extension of the SBC in Washington?
ECLA?
That's so ECLA?
Or is the ELCA? It's one of them.
No, that's ELCA is the Apostate Lutheran Synod.
Okay.
Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. ERLC.
That's it. That's
just
it.
Testing you.
I got my I got them mixed up.
Had dinner with a Southern Baptist last night. And wow, it was edifying. We had such a good time. I've known this fellow for years. In fact, you might remember him because Jimmy plagiarized from him without giving him credit. Do you remember the name? You did.
I did. I admit, so did I. I told him after.
You know what? I'm just ashamed of this. I actually asked him for permission to use his illustration for my new book. Apparently, though, I forgot to do that with Road Trip to Truth. We must have used it in Road Trip to Truth. So when he was here with his wife and his lovely children, he saw the Road Trip to Truth and informed me that we had plagiarized his stalker illustration. Do you remember Josh Williamson, open-air preacher from Australia originally? Now, he's currently in Great Britain, south of London, right over there on the coast. It's where Isaac Watts lived, the great hymn writer, Isaac Watts. And he was telling me, Jimmy, would you look up like the top five Isaac Watts tune, maybe top 10? He wrote a gazillion of them. Well, that was his hometown. And apparently on the quarter hour, the city bells, they actually play an Isaac Watts hymn, which is a lot better than the Islamic call to worship sound. Do the city council members know what they're doing? No. Do they have any sense of history? No. Do they know why that was originally determined to be a good idea? No. They just are oblivious to the Christian influence on the United Kingdom. So they probably don't know why, but I'm sure it's a pleasure to hear it. That's where the Titanic left port. And that is where he does open-air preaching, one-on-one evangelism, because he works for an organization in the United Kingdom, Open Air England, I believe is the name of it, where he goes and he helps churches to be more evangelistic. And I think there might be a need here that we maybe could create something here at Fortis Institute to help churches become more evangelistic. How do you do it? How do you get people to be really thinking more about the expansion of Christ's kingdom via the obedience to the Great Commission? How do you do that? I think that's something that we might be working on here at Fortis. And we were chatting, and he was actually saying that if he didn't know for sure, but he thought that the fracturous nature of conservative circles might be even worse in England than they are in America. It's hard for me to imagine that because we'll divide about just about anything these days. He said it's really can be even more intense in Great Britain. And this is a guy who's plenty conservative. But it appears that maybe they're just leading the way in Great Britain once again. That they are not practicing theological triage, that there are things that we definitely fight about and things that we don't need to be fighting about. There's a kingdom to expand. Jimmy, do you got the top Isaac Watts hymns?
I do.
All right, hit me.
Number one, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
Great hymn.
Number two, Joy to the World. Number three.
That was Three Dog Night? I thought he was like 1700s. Anyway, go ahead.
Number three, Oh God, Our Help
in Ages Past. I wonder if that was the one. Our Joy for Years to Come, Our Shelter from the Stormy Blast, and Our Eternal Home. Yeah, okay. No, maybe that was it. Go ahead.
Alas, sin did my Savior bleed. Yep. Nope. I sing the mighty power of God. Nope. Jesus shall reign wherever the sun.
That is an evangelistic hymn right there. Mm. We want the gospel to spread. Yeah, that's not it.
Let's see. Am I a soldier of the cross?
No, come, definitely not that.
Come, we that love the Lord. How sweet and awful is the place, and this is the day the Lord hath made.
Well, I think, what was the one that I said I think it is? The third or fourth one?
Our God, our help.
In ages past.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that. Can you imagine that playing in your town? It's just a tragedy that hymn, which was beloved and sung by countless Brits, is now just a bell without any sort of meaning whatsoever. But that's not what we're not talking about, doing open air preaching and evangelism with Josh Williamson from the United Kingdom. We're talking about Sebastian Gorka, who he's got an accent, doesn't he? The stuff that I saw of him, I haven't seen him in years, but you know, he always seemed to be more of a conservative kind of guy. He was delivering this. Oh, there we are. Now I know how we got here. He was speaking at the PAC conference and then Southern Baptist and Dinner with the Southern. All righty, we're back. He was speaking and he said, oh boy, when Donald Trump was shot, it was an utter Christ-like moment. No, it wasn't. It was very bad. It doesn't even come close to what happened to Jesus Christ. Not even remotely sort of close. Don't get me wrong. These assassinations on Charlie Kirk and these assassinations on attempts on Donald Trump, look, they're bad and we denounce them. Gorka called them self-sacrifice. Jesus wasn't, if you will, self-sacrifice. Actually, Jesus was self-sacrificed because he went intentionally. He orchestrated it. That was his mission. He was the baby born to die for sinners. That was always the predetermined plan. Having somebody shoot at you while you're speaking, well, that's not self-sacrifice. That's getting almost assassinated, and that's bad enough. And whilst I want to make sure that nobody thinks, oh, you're downplaying a man almost got shot. No, I'm not downplaying that. What I'm trying to do is elevate what happened to our Savior. It is so much exponentially greater that God became flesh, dwelt among us with the explicit intention to not just be shot, but to be brutally beaten. And to be hung on a cross, it doesn't even come close. He referred to Trump's recognition of what he called self-sacrifice by taking a bullet at the Butler rally. According to Gorka, quote, what he did that day evinced the heart of a lion and a lion-like Aslan. Look, his response, I thought, was pretty manly. But to compare anything to the sacrifice of our Savior is I think a failure to remember what that cosmic event was. God dying on a cross. Now, we know that God himself was not exterminated. That would change his character and his nature. But this human being who was fully God, fully man, died so that you and I could be reconciled to God. Making America great again is nothing compared to the salvation of one sinner accomplished through the crucifixion of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Sorry, I appreciate the man's courage, and I don't have a bone to pick about that. But for anybody, including a deputy assistant and senior director for counterterrorism, to compare anybody's martyrdom to the martyrdom of Jesus Christ, look, it's awful, and the church has had so many martyrs, and I don't want to downplay those. So I want to keep those elevated, but the crucifixion of Jesus way transcends any of those deaths, any of them. They murdered God in the flesh. Sorry. That made my eyes roll. Story number two, cool. Gavin Newsom appeals to the Bible. Do you really want me to tell you what he said? Does it really matter? He's using the Bible to say the SNAP program, the benefits like 45 million people, 80% of whom don't need it. A lot of people who aren't even citizens getting SNAP benefits. Gavin Newsom. The New Testament and Old Testament have one dominant thing in common. It's about food. About about serving those who are hungry. It's not a suggestion. It's core and essential to what it means to align with God's will. I wouldn't say that it is not non-necessary, because that is an outgrowth. The essential of the Christian faith. Maybe you could call Simon Gorka. Is it Gorka? Simon Gorka?
Sebastian
Gorka. And talk to him about what the essential is. And that is Jesus Christ, the God-man, being crucified. With all due respect, sir, that's the essential. This is Wretched Radio.
You know what's crazy? You've got more computing power in your pocket right now than NASA used to send people to the moon. But most of us, well, we're using it to watch cat videos or argue with strangers online. But what if I told you there's a better way? The Fortis Plus app. I'm talking hundreds of hours of biblical content that'll actually make you smarter and more equipped for the battles you're facing every day. Not battles with other people, battles in your life. Dr. John Crotch breaks down theology you can actually use with Integrated. And Pastor Brad Bigney, he's helping your marriage thrive instead of just survive. Dr. Adam Tyson speaks truth into the hearts of young men, all on your phone and all for free. So while the world's feeding you garbage, you can be feeding your soul with solid biblical truth. Look, you're going to scroll through something today anyway. Why not make it something that actually strengthens your faith? Download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever it is you download your apps from. It's free, it's powerful, and it's exactly what you need in this upside-down world. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it? If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy. But they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's Word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. We've brought together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity, people who aren't afraid to speak biblical truth into marriage and parenting and manhood and the cultural battles we're facing every day. But here's the thing. That mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where Faithful Gospel Partners come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry. You're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. You're standing with us in this brave new world. And hey, while you're thinking about it, make sure you download Fortis Plus if you haven't already. Hundreds of hours of biblical content available for you to listen to right now, and we're adding more every day, and it's completely free for everyone. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre. One genre we find in Scripture is prophecy. Prophetic books record God's warnings to Israel and other nations of the consequences of continued rebellion against Him and the blessings waiting those who trust Him for salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Probably should have done this first. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, am I going to get into trouble with anybody for saying that what happened to Donald Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania was a heroic act, but it ain't nothing compared to what our Savior did. Donald Trump was a victim. Jesus was a volunteer.
Yeah.
There's a radical difference right there. Furthermore, we don't want any human being shot. Jesus was brutalized. He was so pummeled. You couldn't even tell he was a human being. And he died whilst receiving the wrath of God upon himself. That's a part of the passion you and I never get to actually see. that God was pouring out his wrath on his son. Oh, and to suggest that anybody's assassination or even martyrdom for the sake of Jesus Christ, look, that is a very heroic act. But for us to pull the act of crucifixion down to the level of any other death, I'm sorry, it's just to simply minimize what Jesus did for us on the cross. Jimmy, I did it again. Am I going to get in trouble with people?
I don't think so. I don't think so at all. You shouldn't, for sure.
Well, that's maybe you've forgotten what year it is. Maybe you've forgotten that social media exists.
Yeah.
It's not about, again, minimizing what somebody has done. It's to appreciate more fully what Jesus did for us. Gavin Newsom using the Bible to scold us, saying that the Bible, hey, you read it, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Isaiah, go down the list, said Newsom. The Bible is about one thing, food. No, actually, it's not. If you did want to say there's a theme in the Bible that is consumable, it would be bread. Wine, maybe you could even make the case, is it makes some guest appearances in the Old Testament, certainly at the Passover meal. Bread is a thread throughout the Bible. Trees are a thread throughout the Bible. The Bible is bookended by trees and a river. So yeah, there are threads. I grant you that. In fact, there's a lot of threads in the Bible. There's a ton of, I've counted 21 threads in the Gospel of Matthew alone. But then the entire Bible, you've got trees, you've got light, water is a theme. Blood is most certainly a theme throughout the Bible. Trees, as mentioned. So we don't ignore those. But to say that the essential of the Bible is about food and feeding people. Yes, the story of the Good Samaritan is about taking care of somebody. Absolutely. And yep, got it. Check. We understand that, Governor. But that's not the main tenet of Christianity. Furthermore, that is a work. That is just class. Well, Gavin Newsom apparently grew up Roman Catholic, who, by the way, this is, wow. All right. I think there might be something else here that I was not able to unearth because I didn't dive deeply into a new document that was released by the Dicastery of the Doctrine of the Faith, the DDF of the Roman Catholic Church. It's the Mater Populi Fidelis, the mother of faith of the faithful. That's funny. Mater Populi Fidelis. And then in parentheses, it says the mother of the faithful people of God. People of God isn't, it's just the faithful. At any rate, they determine, guess what? Mary is not, I repeat, not the co-redemptrix. Okay, I'm certainly down with that because to suggest for a second that anybody played a role in our justification is to rob Jesus of his salvific work. And so the Roman Catholic Church, which has flirted with calling her the co-redemptrix, because there are people who do, they finally said, no, we're not going to do that. Now, the reason is a little suspicious to me, but then again, I'm kind of suspicious that way. It's because it has too much language. It becomes unhelpful. It's got too much baggage. The explanation required to explain that Mary is the co-redemptrix, it could make problems ecumenically, you know, with those Protestants. Well, it's just a bad word. It's just a terrible word. Was Mary highly favored? Yeah, the Bible says so. But when we see Mary, what should our response be to this highly favored one? It is not to elevate Mary. It is to love our God more, who chose a mere mortal to be the bearer of the Son of God. Wow! How kind is God? How amazing is God? How well did he treat Mary? What a blessing he gave to her. Any blessing, any gift, it should shine the spotlight on the giver, not the recipient. Was Mary a godly woman? Yes. And they say, you know, she was there at the cross. Yeah, so was Mary Magdalene. So were several women. In fact, probably about a dozen women. We don't know how many exactly. It just says a number of women. And it does list Mary, Mary Magdalene. But that doesn't mean that they somehow participated in the suffering of Jesus. Did they suffer emotionally watching him? Yeah. Did that contribute to our justification? Absolutely not. But we'll take a win when we can get one. They didn't make Mary the co-redemptrix, although I think the sentiment behind it, it's just not positioned rightly. It's just not positioned rightly. Was she chosen to do a great thing? Yes, but it did not contribute to our salvation. That is to rob God of his glory. And I think that's my point with the Sebastian Gorka comment about Trump being compared to Jesus Christ and his sacrifice when he was almost shot. I'm talking about Trump, not Jesus. It just diminishes it. It diminishes it. We have to continue to maintain a spectacularly high view of the atoning work of Jesus Christ. Governor Newsom, are we back again? Governor Newsom saying that, hey, it's all about food in the Bible, so we got to be feeding one another. That's a law, sir, which we would expect from a Roman Catholic because he thinks that that is what Christianity is about, doing stuff. And by the way, that's becoming an increasing problem inside of evangelicalism. Did I mention I had dinner last night with Josh Williamson? And he was saying, okay, all right, I think I've got this story straight. If not, change the names to protect the innocent. Will Graham. Sorry. Son of Franklin Graham was in Great Britain preaching. About 1,000 people. Now I'm talking about evangelism. And he said, these are people there to get evangelism training, about 1,000 folks. I do not assume that any of you are saved. And he thoroughly preached law, gospel, the character and the nature of God, repentance and faith. A man must be born again if he will inherit the kingdom of God. And he dismissed people by saying, it's lunchtime, you are free to go, but if you have questions about the status of your soul, come talk to me. Not an altar call, just come talk to me. And people did. And they were there for evangelism training. And Josh was also sharing the story of an individual that he was talking to who was going to an evangelical church. Hey, what's the gospel? And the fellow said, you got to be good. That's not the gospel. That's law. That's the yoke and the burden that Jesus came to lift from us. So for Gavin Newsom to say that the feeding people is essential to the Bible, oh, dude. You don't want to live under that law. By the way, here are the statistics for the SNAP program, if you're interested. SNAP has grown in the past few decades. It went from 1.4% of the population. It's currently at 12.5%. 19 million SNAP, this is the feeding program, have been on the program for longer than a year. Over 80% of people on the program are able-bodied and below retirement age. The Bible could help. Here, Gavin, you want to quote the Bible? If you don't work, you don't eat. There you go. That'll clean up the SNAP program real quick. They used to do that, by the way. And this SNAP program, look, I know it's necessary, but oh, this is the fruit of secular humanism. So what do you do with secular humanism when it fails? Well, you create another dopey response to put a Band-Aid on it. And then you get another wound and you put another Band-Aid on it. 25% of all SNAP users are single mothers. That's 23% of all U.S. households have single mothers. I know that there are times that that happens and there's no sin involved. That's the exception. The rule is sin is involved. Families are broken. Gavin Newsom mangling the Bible, of course he would, to use it as a cudgel against us, has no idea how helpful the Bible would be in making California a better place to live, where men go to work and they stay with their families and they lead them to the Lord to teach them to love Jesus Christ more and to be like their God, who is a working God. If only. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.